Augmented reality promised to literally change the way we see the world. We're not quite there yet, but there's Pokemon. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. It's been 5 years since Pokemon Go launched, sending kids and adults alike out into the streets, capturing Pokemon through their smartphones. It was one of the first massively successful augmented reality games, which generates maps populated with fantastical creatures based off of actual maps. It tracks where players are in the real world to determine which Pokemon they can see. John Hinckley is CEO of Niantic, the company behind Pokemon Go.
There was a giant Pokemon egg on Navy Pier in Chicago that hatched enormous 50-foot tall Pokemon throughout the weekend that people could compete for in raids. It ended up being our biggest Go Fest ever. We had over 3 million people purchase tickets. We had over 10 times that number of people play over the weekend. And it was just great to see people enjoying the thing that we built and worked on in that way.
How did you think about the challenge of reorienting a game designed to get people outside and meeting with each other, adjusted or shifted to the pandemic lockdowns?
We actually made some changes to make it easier for people to do things from home. In Pokemon Go, you get to choose a Pokemon to be your buddy. Your buddy would bring you stuff every day. So instead of you having to go out and spin a Pokestop in the park, your buddy would sort of bring you a care package every day. We also allowed people to raid together from home, battle a big Pokemon, and then you get a chance to capture it afterwards. And, you know, this summer, you know, we've made some adaptations in the game to support outdoor gameplay once again. Although, you know, many of the changes that we made are still in place because, you know, we're not fully out of this yet.
You are one of the creators of Google Maps and Google Earth, and while we've seen a lot of innovation, including yours, in augmented reality in gaming, it seems to have been much slower to reach the mainstream in other areas. Why is there that disconnect?
Computer scientists have talked about spatial computing is sort of a more kind of academic way of talking about the subject. They don't care so much about the hardware that we're using, but the stuff that we want, the information, the enablement, the entertainment, you know, in the case of Pokemon Go, is just there and becomes part of the world. I think it's incumbent upon those of us in the technology industry to make sure that those uses are good uses and they're in the service of, you know, what we as human beings really need and what makes us ultimately makes us happy in our lives.
You know, I'm thinking about what your example of entertainment versus sort of mainstream, that we had Game Boys before we had iPhones.
Absolutely. You know, as a person who grew up with Atari, you know, the Atari game system and the first Nintendo systems, and the technology matured. And yeah, the Game Boy came before the iPhone, and, you know, people were kind of doing sort of silly, useless things on the internet before it became sort of the way we do everything. So AR is in that early stage for sure.
How do you balance delivering a satisfying experience that's as rich as you describe with user privacy?
Well, you know, our philosophy is that, you know, we don't collect data for the sake of collecting data. We're in the business of delivering, you know, great entertainment experiences and great AR technology. So we utilize the device in order to deliver the experience. So in the case of location, our games are about people moving through the world and discovering things, you know, magical ever series in Harry Potter, or portals in Ingress, or you know, we have new projects coming with a Transformers game and a new project with Nintendo. All of those rely upon responding to where you are in the world and making magical things happen. So, you know, that's a great example of, you know, data that's being used to power the experience, but not data that's simply being collected and archived, you know, for some other purpose. You know, our business model and what we offer is very transparent, and we want to keep it that way.
You are a private company that has done very well with your games, but also taken on outside funding. Have you received any pressure to come up with ways to monetize all of that data, maybe with outside partners?
Our investors have been really happy with our progress as a business. We've built a very profitable business on a very, very transparent and clear business model, which is, you know, we deliver games and there are things within those games that people can pay for. You know, we're really not in that class of companies where, you know, they put out a product for free without necessarily having a business model. And then, you know, maybe they're trying to figure things out later, or, you know, turn the customer into the product, so to speak. So that's not how we've done things. And our investors are thrilled with the growth that we've achieved over the past several years and our plans for the future.
John Hinke is CEO of Niantic. Niantic is also one of several companies working on augmented reality glasses. Hinke says the technology is coming along, although a really unobtrusive, user-friendly version is probably still a few years off. And now for some related links. While Hinke is optimistic about the future of AR, there are, of course, some areas for caution. In 2019, he spoke at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco and showed a short film called Hyper Reality by the media artist Kaichi Matsuda. It shows a future world where AR and ads overlay everything, offering helpful things like navigation and real-time translation, but it's also really overwhelming. We'll have that video on our website, marketplacetech.org. I stumbled across that video reading a 2019 investigation by the gaming site Kotaku, which highlighted privacy concerns about Niantic's games and just how often they download users' location data. We'll have that on the site as well. And if you're interested, we'll have a link to Niantic's recap of this year's Pokemon Go Fest, where the company says trainers caught more than 1.5 billion Pokemon globally. Gotta catch them all, as they say. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.